Attention students, the Jabrona University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
Orange and black, get cream dickled.
Got that cream dickle.
Mm-hmm.
Like the
Bucks,
like the Bucks jerseys.
That's right. Get that cream dickle.
Dickle.
Business time. Halloween season.
It's time for dickle.
That's right.
Suck my dickle.
if you're not getting dickled down on Halloween, then what are you doing, you know?
Yeah.
It's called dickle.
Isn't there liquor called dickle?
I don't know.
Is there?
There is. Yeah.
I think it's called dickle treat for a reason, you know?
Bourbon or whiskey, I can't remember. One of those brown ones.
Dickle treat?
Dickle treat.
Dickle it's a dangerous treat. Game, but I could see it playing at colleges.
Idiot always
really big with the college crowd.
Yeah, I know. I think those college kids will be in there, though.
Yeah, they will.
It's going to be a good night, boys. I can feel it in my bones.
If I know anything about the college crowd,
yeah.
Dickle Treat.
Dickle Treat right is their shit.
Huge Jenny Dickleton.
Yeah.
Loving you is easy because. It's that day, Halloween, bitches. Time to get out candy and not be snitches. You see some TP flying, just laugh and smile. Back that ass up, you used to be juvenile. But Wes, you grown, so you need a different kick. Fucking up some gummies for your damn fix. Had a little too much, now you're feeling weird. Is that weed trying to fuck right here? You look around and no one to be seen, so you shrug and whip out the ween. It ain't cheating if the heartbeat don't carry. But keep this from your friends, shouts to Matt Perry. You have your fun and things get crazy. 9 months later, you have a weed baby. What the fuck? How'd this happen? The strain got your face and now you ain't laughing. You have a sit down to explain to your fam. Explain that mama weed ain't making and they were like, damn. You move on as a group and raise them as your own. You make sure Cash's friends don't smoke them in your home. First day of kindergarten with his little backpack was the cutest. Everyone around trying to compute this. Wait, so you sex some weed and out popped a kid? Yeah, man, I know it's some weird shit, but I love him as my own and I want him to succeed. I want him to be more than just some weed. 13 years later, a little homie's doing his thing. You're a proud dad as he wins prom king. He gets a letter, he's accepted to Harvard and you're so stoked. You tell him, son, that's so dope. It triggers him and he feels provoked, so he rolls your ass up and you get smoked. Fuck, you wake up and realize how hard you hit the flame. Well, time to jump on Zoom with TDP and Draft Horror Hall of Fame. We look at you and ask Wes, what's up? You're looking a little rough. Well, if your dreams don't scare you, they ain't big enough.
Damn.
Let's go.
Wow.
Let's go. Wow. Huge finale, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I like that's
big
a good quote.
Finale tonight, guys.
It's a quote by Deion Sanders.
And this is like
I love it.
This is like first time in over a year the four of us have been together for a full podcast?
Oh wow, is that true?
Damn.
Really? Yeah.
Holy guacamole.
Yeah. No, wait, didn't we do we did the Oscars.
Yeah, but James wasn't here then.
Oh, holy Toledo, comma, Ohio.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at that. The band is back together.
And then I think Andy was missing for the one you did in June.
Oh, holy.
Was
Omaha,
it?
Comma, Nebraska.
I think
was
so.
It just
like, yeah. And then you were here, but you weren't here for last year's Halloween show. Mm. So
holy Spokane, comma, Washington.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here now.
Yeah.
Damn, you're in space, dude.
Sorta.
That's fucking crazy.
Sorta.
Getting there.
Oh,
all right. Am I? I got my weird space light on.
Dude.
Let's draft.
You know what's crazy?
And the best looking at you.
I'm looking at you, and I see two orbitals.
Hell yeah, brother.
You know?
Yeah. That's tight. Space, you see it back there?
Uh-huh. Drew.
JabroniU.com.
Happy Halloween, everybody. That's really what matters. Happy Halloween.
Yep. Yeah, today is Halloween. Yep.
Yeah.
I hope everybody gets everything they wanted for Halloween.
And guys, don't play Dick or Treat without consent.
Listen, that is something important. Like, listen, guys, if you're going to play Dick or Treat, please get consent. All right.
I would think that's a given.
Yeah. Especially you, ladies.
Yep.
Yeah, it goes both ways. Goes both ways. Respect.
Unless you want to rat me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put you in a rat. Let me roll you up like a blunt. Yeah.
All right.
Dickletree is safe. If it's consensual, it's safe.
That's right.
Rocking around.
So here's how the ball's dropped. And just remember, you guys do have, well, I guess I have one. And Drew,
well,
I think
nope,
you have
nope,
one.
Nope, there's rules for this game.
There are rules for this game.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Okay. No. So here are the steps for this round.
Well, you can't re-rack?
All rules are off the table.
Get them off.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know about this. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man. Yeah, this is the group.
The fact that I don't have a steel card means I do now have a steel card.
No steel cards are allowed.
Yeah, if you do have it.
No rumble mess.
Okay, all right,
no
that's cool.
Mess,
no, the rule would be I don't get the steel.
So no 99 bananas in the freezer.
No steel cards allowed. No Rumpelstiltskin lock-ins allowed.
Yep. Okay.
Your ballot is ironclad.
And it's the 7, right? We're going a full 7?
Or 6.
6, okay.
6 for evil.
Six.
Oh, yeah.
Four sixes.
Now. Gotcha.
Four sixes is the devil's grandfather.
Extra evil. Yeah.
So we're doing Stanley. 6 movies, no honorable mentions. The normal draft rules out the window. This is an ironclad ballot.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And
we still can't draft things already taken, right?
Right. No, that's a given. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought that was a given. If it's gone.
I thought it was too, Wes. I mean, what do I know?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought so too, but I just want to clarify for all those dipshits listening, you know?
Yeah. All the fucking moron listeners.
Yeah. Why don't you squeeze a water bottle at your face, moron?
James gets to pick his placement in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled a dirty one on him last week for my own entertainment.
Yeah.
And he took that like a fucking champion. So,
well, if anything, Drew got the brunt of that one.
Grenade a little bit, too.
Yeah.
So. You did eat a lot of shit, Drew.
Drew like, fucked up hard, and it BC turned his sights right on him.
I didn't fuck up at all, though.
I'm the only one who followed the rules last week.
Now I know why Drew and Andy have so much fun when BC's got his sights on me. Because
dude, he's a jackal. If he sees a limp, he's going in, man.
That's right.
He can't fuck with me because I'll make it weird.
You're unfuckwithable.
I
consider Andy and some of those elements unfuckwithable. Yeah.
Andy's got a Ron Simmons quality to him.
You know, I...
Before we get started, this was an awesome month. Every draft was fun and different and offered something different. Everybody did a great job. So, happy Halloween.
Thanks, man. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I live for the Wes Allen Halloween takeover, you know?
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I really enjoy it.
What do we have? Shouts to Beach. Shouts to Vinny.
Scrump.
Breeze.
That the Beaks
and Courtney
and
Courtney
BC
B Sizzle
BC I think I added people we didn't even have.
You did.
You're like,
All right.
So what's the line?
I'm happy with the way the balls drop. Truthfully,
start naming,
so I'm gonna...
naming the thing okay. from fucking Home Alone. Fucking
yeah.
Little Tommy with the bro, or whatever he says, like snakes.
Dirty Mo with the gimpy leg.
Gimpy leg. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good line.
All right. So I like the way the balls drop. So I'm happy with where my position is. I'm going to stick with this. Andy, you have first pick.
Yeah.
I get second pick. Wes, you got third, and Drew's fourth.
Great.
Word.
Yeah.
Let's rock and roll.
So here we go.
He's backwards today, so he's worried.
Andy, you're up.
I'm excited. First pick. There was kind of a debate in my head going on. Scariest, best. It's the Horror Hall of Fame. So I think first overall pick deserves a little of both, right? You know, best, scariest, all of that. In my own personal, this wouldn't be number one. However, we're talking about the Horror Hall of Fame. So I got to go with number one, that crazy little bitch. Give me The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Dick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you got the little demon child. You got the puking, just losing control in general is frightening. And then the way they played this fucking movie off. First off, exorcism's not for me. Terrifying. Terrifying. I think it's the scariest thing, element of scary movies mm-hmm. for me is exorcisms.
Sure.
There's just something super fucking haunting about them. And then the other thing is, like, there was no, like, breaks in this movie. No light-hearted, you know, comedy that you get out of some things. Like, zero breaks in this fucking movie. Everything remained very dark. Not like daylight and you get to get out and, like, all of that kind of stuff. Like, it was just consistently, like, terrifying.
What
you
about
know?
When
and then the way they acted it, they played it fucking straight.
Yep.
What about when Andy Richter's mom was in the bed and she like got out? And like, yeah, that and part
James,
was hilarious.
James Woods was taking a shit.
Andy, the Exorcist fucking rules, man.
Or doesn't, you know, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah. No, actually, that's a fair way of seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, it gave a feeling of being completely over the top without ever giving a feeling of being over the top, which
yep.
almost made it more fucking real, which makes it
it's
more terrifying.
Dread. There's dread running throughout the entire movie.
I know. And
there's
like,
spikes in it, but there's dread, and it keeps you on your heels the whole time.
And it's one of those things is like, you know, like every time you see something, it reminds you of that. Like that's like
yeah.
every time I see a young girl masturbating with a crucifix, I'm always like Exorcist.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Also, notice how he takes the high road on not saying pussy.
Dude, they said the word cocksucker and got me not to laugh. That's what a cock.
Isn't funny.
I've never so not funny. Laughed at a cocksucker.
I've never not laughed at it until this.
All right. Well, I'm kind of going to follow in Andy's footsteps a little bit here, and I'm also taking an exorcism movie. And I take this movie because, as far as the scariest horror movies that I guess. My list is a lot of, I have a few things that were super scary to me, and I have a few things that I just love. They're just like my favorite horror movies.
Yeah. Same.
So this movie, though, it's the reason that when it's 3 a.m., I think, all right, it's the witching hour, and I'm scared. And it's called The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And when I saw this movie, this movie sat with me even to this day. When it says 3 a.m., I think that in my head. I think about this movie. The chick who played Deb in Dexter plays Emily Rose in this movie. And there are she does these contortionist things that just fuck me up, dude. Whenever, and it's just a slow pan of like a girl all twisted up on the fucking floor because a demon is inside her body, like taking over. And just those scenes alone, like that shit sits with me too.
Yeah.
And Laura Linney plays a lawyer in this movie. And that's another reason that I love this movie so much, is just because they kind of mix like real life lawyer stuff during the day and then exorcist shit at night, and it's just the two worlds collide, and she's trying to explain to a room full of people like what's happening with this girl and shit. Like, yeah, it's insane. It's a great fucking movie. I highly suggest it.
It's so good.
It's scary as fuck.
Fucking the courtroom drama.
Yeah,
like every time.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you're getting the exorcism movie, but you also have a courtroom drama going on.
Exactly.
And like that whole thing is riveting between the two lawyers and the judge, where you're getting this fucked up exorcism movie going on.
Yeah,
really well acted. It's so good.
Yeah, that movie sits with me for sure. So chuck it in. All right, Wes.
The Sexercise of Emily Rose.
That's right.
Okay, I at the risk of seeming obvious, I figured like I it would be against my own judgment to not choose this as number one. It's my favorite horror movie of all time. My favorite movie of all time. But it is also, if not the best horror movie ever made, in the top five best horror movies ever made. 1974, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's not what you said on one podcast.
You know what? I had to go on another podcast to try and
clarify that, yeah.
Clean up my fucking name. That's been silly.
I thought you loved that remake so much. I mean, you went off like hard on it.
I was about to say he was 24 when it came out.
It's still to this day does so many upsetting, unnerving, unsettling things, and convinces you the whole time you're seeing so much more than you are. Just fucked up people, chaos, violence, just it does everything a horror movie should do, and you walk away feeling like, was some of that real?
Yeah.
Like it's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre has lived on through 8 million iterations, but there's no touching this one.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Also, I think if the four of us are the four major killers, Drew is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Drew's Leatherface. I like
He's Leatherface, yeah.
Nice.
I don't know what the other three of us are. Maybe we should figure that out, but Drew's definitely Leatherface.
You're at least Freddy through the sequels.
Like that.
I mean, maybe not the first one, but definitely through the sequels.
Through the sequels, yeah. A lot of catchphrases.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take that.
What was Freddy just doing in to the camera just now?
Freddy. Don't you recognize it?
Looks like he's got kebabs on each of his finger knives, and he's eating kebab finger knives.
Yeah, I'm wiping it on your faces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Drew.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, Drew.
Well, yeah, so I think there's just, to me, especially like stuff like when I watched when I was a kid that really got me, like it just, that'll always be the fucking, you know, the nostalgia of it all is like what really gets to me. And I remember watching this movie way too young. I don't even know when an appropriate age is to watch it, but it definitely was too young for when I watched it. And again, it deals with all that kind of not really exorcist, but supernatural, you know, very, you know, the religiosity of it all.
Yep.
I'm going to go The Omen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love The Omen, and yeah. I love the novel, the novel adaptation of it too.
Yeah.
Like, wait, adaptation? You said right?
The book is good. The movie's good, and then the novel adaptation of it. Oh,
God. Adaptation. Okay. All right. Cool. We're good.
Good. But yeah, it's,
good pick. Yeah, go.
Yeah. Like, you know, I picked it. We did Kills or whatever, and it was just, or not Kills. Yeah, that's whatever we did. Yeah. But like those scenes, or no, I did it with the Reanimator. That's what it was. When I brought, you know, them back as the group. But I like, there are like those crazy death scenes that are just so impactful, especially when you're a fucking kid, like watching somebody get decapitated. Yeah. Like, it's just like, what? What? People would lose their heads?
Also, it's crazy for 9 years Drew used to sit in the classroom and envision his teacher doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, the fucking nanny hanging herself. Yeah.
It's such a fucked up scene.
It's so dark. Yeah. Oh, that's dark.
The way the long ass rope and the fact that she like jumps from like a third,
it's such a crazy. Violent hanging.
Yeah.
Oh man! Like, thank you guys for picking up my fuck up there.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And like
9 years of Drew's nannies.
All right, Drew, you're back.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I feel like this is a disservice if I don't. So, this is kind of indicative of the horror that I really and like really enjoy, even to this day. Like, if to me, give me more suspense than anything else, and so give me Halloween.
Oh yeah.
That first 1978 Halloween.
78.
Yeah. It's just so damn good, and it's, like I said, it just does such a good job of building tension throughout that whole thing, and quietly building tension, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not, you know, nothing wrong with going hard right away or whatever, but, like, you know, there's just something to that where you're just like, ugh, something very unsettling about, like, just seeing him stalk this whole, like, all these kids for the entire day, and then finally getting to the good stuff, so to speak.
It's almost more terrifying.
Yeah,
because he isolates them. That's one of the scariest things that happens in Halloween is these kills are isolated.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
People know that they're abandoned by all their hope, and like it's
one of
and it's not loud. It's a quiet.
Yeah,
you know, it's so good.
Like, and it just that stalking too of just like, you know, going. You know, walking past the window, you just see that fucking lifeless face.
Yeah. So,
I like when, like, the part where the light hits him just right, and then you find out it's William Shatner the whole time. Like, it's fucking crazy. Yeah. That shit fucks me up.
You can see his Starfleet pin.
He's like, Captain's log, I just murdered a bitch.
I'm gonna die.
This is the greatest man
died before.
I guess I never realized that all the people who died in there were wearing red shirts.
Yeah, it's an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Good pick, man.
Yeah.
I consider Halloween a perfect movie.
It's very good, yeah. Oh yeah.
There's a handful of them, and I consider that one of them.
You're back,
my turn, right?
Yeah.
The idea of like the perfect horror movie to me is all in this movie. It is a small group of people. It was made independently. It was made with, you know, with a bit of ferocity, knowing like we don't have a lot of money, so we have to make something special. There's inadvertent like progressive thinking in it, while also like tying in the climate of the time, all shot through the lens of a zombie attack, Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah,
hell
it's so it does everything a horror movie should do, it does right. And and what it does differently is that it's one of the few movies of the time, at least, you know, in my to my knowledge, that gets you all the way to the finish line and then doesn't let you win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the guy that you are rooting on doesn't cross first. Yeah. It's a very like, it's kind of a punch in the gut after going through what you just went through with this group of people.
Yeah.
And George Romero's best, in my opinion.
Like, it's a bit of a, like, fucking, not trendsetter, but like, trailblazer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I do agree that it's his best, because as good as the other ones are, like, they're,
yeah.
And like to me, like, Dawn might be better for a different reason, but.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
But there's no camp in this movie. Which, you know, it's taken exactly very right. seriously. So, like,
yes.
That's what makes it so good. Where the other ones, like, yeah, there are a little, I wouldn't even say tropey, but, like, it becomes tropey after everybody else copying it. But, like, yeah, that's where I think this is the best one. And, yeah, like you said, very progressive thinking of, like, and the hero's going to be black.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm shook right now because there's a movie that I saw when I was, like, 17, something like that.
Yeah.
And like for the longest time, every time I mentioned it, nobody knew what the fuck it was. George Romero also did it. Monkey Shines.
Oh, Monkey Shines?
Yeah. Like,
Monkey Shines.
He did Night of the Living Dead, and then he went and did Monkey Shines?
Yeah, man. Yep.
Wild.
Speaking of Rumpelstiltskin, Andy, is this the Rumpelstiltskin that made you so scared?
No.
1995?
No, more basic.
No, his was...
more basic, not the actual horror movie Rumpelstiltskin.
No,
Rumpelstiltskin that Andy was afraid of was on a show called like Children's Masterpiece Theater or something. Shelley Duvall was the host. Yeah.
Yep.
And there would be... They would do, you know, the fairy tales. And the dude from Fantasy Island played... Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh,
and he had terrifying. His
beard and hair and but he still had his voice. So when he says the line, "Will you give me your firstborn child?" It is so fucking gross.
Oh.
He's horrible, guys. He's so gross.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. That's hilarious. All right. Here we go. So now I'm gonna take took me a long time to be confident and comfortable enough to watch a horror movie all the way through. I was very scared of them as a kid. And I did see horror movies up to this movie, but I feel like when I went and saw this movie, it was like this is the day that I got unlocked and that I was like, okay, I can watch any fucking movie now. I don't give a fuck what it is. My imagination will no longer like run me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I went and saw, then this movie it's not scary as much as I just fucking loved it. When I walked out of the theater, I couldn't shut up about how much I fucking loved it, and I've watched it probably 100 fucking thousand times since, and I'm going
for no shit.
Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh, that movie rules.
Yeah, I loved it so much. I lived in Tallahassee when this movie came out, and I went and saw it with a buddy of mine that was actually, like, the guy that I would hang out with as a kid and go see movies with all the time. So it's really, like, the last movie I really remember seeing with him, too. So I have fond memories with that, too. But
it's a wonder that you didn't have me go.
I don't think at that time you were interested in this.
And I was probably working at McDonald's.
That might have been true.
Or Best Buy.
But yeah.
And you guys probably came home and then called me the Hamburglar. Because they called me that because I would bring a stack of cheeseburgers.
Called me the
home.
Hamburglar.
Yeah, I brought a bunch of cheeseburgers home and I would put them in the bottom drawer.
Yeah, the drawer was totally full of fucking cheeseburgers in our college apartment. It was amazing, actually. It was amazing.
A crisper drawer full of fucking
at
burgers.
Any moment, you could pull that bitch open and heat yourself up a cheeseburger. Oh, God. Yeah, I see
it. Yeah. Terrifying.
It's so fucking awful, dude.
It is horrible.
I'm happy we got the four main guys out, though.
I'm gonna be honest. I feel like it's racist.
Probably is.
It's got to be racist.
Yeah.
There's definitely something that's not.
But yeah. Allowed. Now we got Leatherface, Michael Myers, Freddy, and Jason all on the board, which is appropriate for the Horror Hall of Fame. Horror.
Freddy versus Hall of Jason Fame. Gave you everything you wanted Freddy versus Jason to give you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know how you can't be a fan. I know how you can be a fan of both those franchises and not just love that movie.
I did it better than Superman versus Batman.
By a wide margin, yeah.
Because it's stuck to what it knew. Both their mother's names were Martha, though. That's the weird coincidence.
Freddy's going to say some dumb shit, and you know, like Jason's going to move real sharply and pick people up, throw them at trees, and like it's fucking awesome. I love Freddy versus Jason.
I love it so much.
More of them.
Yeah. All right, Drew.
That's Andy, but I'll go.
All right, Andy.
I was about to go. I was like, oh, shit. I didn't
trying to trip prepared. You guys up so you lose your picks.
Oh,
you know?
Man, I should have let him. No, so this one's exciting. I did not see a world that this came back to me. This would have been my first overall pick. This is probably in a period of time where I was not into horror movies whatsoever. Mm. This was one of the first horror movies that I truly like kind of fell in love with. Mm-hmm. And I watched it like probably like 18 intro to film. And there was a bunch of shit on it in a book and had to do homework on it. And I actually enjoyed the homework and I'm taking The Shining.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
So, but like I knew parts of it when I was younger and growing up as a kid, but like I don't think I really had like seen the whole movie through. But like it's one of those things where you don't know if you saw it, but you know all the scenes, like some of the biggest scenes. Mm-hmm. So I had to have seen it at some point or seen clips. I don't know, but like I remember the twins and that freaking me out. I remember Danny on his tricycle going down, you know, the hallway. I remember the blood in the elevator and all of it. And here's Johnny, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like
the maze.
What's that? Ooh,
the maze.
Yeah, exactly. But this became easily my favorite horror movie from the moment I saw it. Mm-hmm. And I questioned it for a tiny bit, like, because there's one other one that I love like that much in a different way. But I would say this is still my favorite horror movie to date. You know, I was just talking to somebody that was about 10 years older than me, and like, he was like, this movie's fucking terrible. Like, so he like was more in line with watching it.
Yeah.
You know, closer to when it came out and stuff like that. And for him, it was like, this movie's fucking terrifying. I still can't watch it to this day. Mm-hmm. And all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of interesting to hear. But yeah, The Shining is got to be in the Horror Hall of Fame, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think if I weren't going for pure scare factor for my first pick, I would have taken this. But but either way, I mean, you know, Omen's up there too, but. It's a fucking Kubrick movie, so like it's gonna be good.
It may be it's like in the conversation for best movies of all time.
Yeah.
And it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of a hard thing to pull off. But there's legitimately people that don't like horror, and even though this scares them, like they'll still admit this is one of the best movies ever.
Yeah.
So that's hard to pull off.
That's also indicative of a lot of, like, people don't like to think of it in this context, but movies like Jaws,
mm-hmm.
The Exorcist, Silence of the Lambs, The Shining, Night of the Living Dead, these are revered movies, and they're all horror movies. Some of them considered one, you know, some of the running for best movie of all time. And they're fucking horror movies because they they like to diminish horror on that global scale. To just,
so they like to call it like supernatural or sci-fi instead of horror.
Or like, what is it, thriller? Is that what they call it?
Thriller.
Psychological thriller.
Yeah.
They're fucking horror movies. Silence of the Lambs is a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it won Academy Awards. Like, this isn't... You can... Terrifying stories make great movies.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Fucking A.
Yeah.
All right, Andy.
All right. So... The first one is a movie I fucking despise, but it scares the living shit out of me. The second one is scary, but it's my favorite one. And the third one I'm going to go is actually like a favorite of mine that's terrifying in a whole different sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm going Get Out here.
Oh,
good.
Dude.
Yep.
Get Out is a scary fucking movie.
It is fucking terrifying because it's scary. They even have, you know, the jump scares in there if you like that. But then also from the mind control and then like how it relates to actually like real world life. And that was something I hadn't seen as much of at that time. I hadn't seen as much of that in horror, and Get Out is really what took me to probably the next level of being comfortable with you guys drafting horrors for me to watch and things like that. And Get Out was kind of the thing, because I was like, okay, the dude from Key and Peele, and then I liked some of the actors that were in it, and I was super interested to see what he was going to do. I fell in love with the movie, even though it also scared me, and it really like took me to the next level. So I'm starting with what scared the shit out of me, and then second, what got me into horror, and then what got me into horror the next level. So I'm kind of telling a little story here.
Hell yeah.
Get Out rules.
Good for you, buddy.
It's an instant classic, Andy.
Yeah.
And we've been pretty lucky to have a lot of like immediate classic horror films over the last 10 years.
Oh yeah.
Like
I recently kind of put together a top 10 of this millennia horror movies.
Yeah,
and like, dude, there's some fucking bangers on there.
I'm gonna get
to like three or four of them today. But like, you know, because everybody, like, I feel like even myself, I'm very guilty of like, It's the 70s horror. It's the first of this. You know what I mean? But like, which those are great, but there are some fucking good ones that have come out again. It's just, again, it just gets so drowned out with all the fucking sequels. Yep. They just slam onto everything.
Yep.
It's going to be a weird comparison, but like, porn with good storylines. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You get where I'm coming from here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about, like, the horror. Yeah, that works, actually. It's not just about that.
Mm-hmm.
You get a story alongside it.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like what I'm saying is I feel like the writing...
Yeah, so, look, you can have...
horrors as a whole.
Yeah, you can...
Is as good as porn.
You can have a movie that's all gore, and that's just like your compilation, your compilation videos, and then you have ones with good stories, and you know that's like, oh man, I guess we only have one bed here.
Man, next year I think we need to draft our favorite horror porns.
Damn, I gotta step my game up. That's a genre?
Oh, dude.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I mean,
of course I know. I've seen 8mm.
I have
the Texas Vibrator Massacre.
What?
Of course you do.
It's a porn parody of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Maybe this is too much. Maybe it's too much inappropriate, but what if we did we combine our Pausable Moments episode we did with our a horror one.
And so
we only pick like the best pausable moments from horror movies.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
What's her name?
Angela?
Dawson's Creek.
Oh.
Well, be careful.
No, you know what I'm
talking about?
One.
I do know what you're talking about, and they might get
picked. And the reason I know is because James told me.
Yeah.
Because he'd be like, this, you should check this movie out if you want to see.
I'll give you a hint for my number one pick.
We'll talk about it. All right. Now it's back to me. And I'm going to go with a movie that when I saw this movie, I was super inspired by the sound effects and just the way that this movie was put together sound wise. And
damn, I hope you're not going to trample on a pick of mine.
And it's in the, like you guys were just saying, it's a 2000s horror movie and it's fucking incredible. And it's made by one of the best horror directors in the history of horror.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Drag Me to Hell.
Absolutely.
Oh.
By
that movie's so fucking good.
My best theater experience of all time.
Yeah. And, really?
And I always encourage, if you are going to watch this movie, watch it on a really nice surround sound system or something. Yeah. Because, like, Sam Raimi, the way that he did this movie, the way that he scored it, and the way that they do the sound effects and everything is just... Especially the scene where they're trying to transfer the demon into a goat. Yeah, it's fucking amazing. Yeah. Like, everything about it.
I have not seen this.
And the movie
is so good, Andy.
The movie is absolutely fucking incredible from start to finish, too. Scary as fuck.
And to me, I the other ones are so much fun. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's his best movie.
It could be. It could be.
Yeah.
There's an argument there. Spider-Man's and things like that. Like, I think it's his best movie. And,
yeah, there's an argument there.
But yeah, the sound was up to 11, like in the theater, and
it moved around you.
Yeah.
Around you the whole time. Yeah.
The
theatrical experience.
I got the experience of the stereotypical theater goers, and I don't know what people are complaining about. It made that movie fucking awesome. Hearing somebody. Yeah. Don't go in there! Like, that shit was great.
Yeah. Well, hey, get out.
Exactly.
And it was named that because people would be like, get out!
Get out of there! What are you doing?
Yeah. That is a great film experience.
Same with Nope. Nope was the same thing.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. Dude, Drag Me to Hell was so good. The fucking... Oh, I don't want to ruin it because Andy hasn't seen it, but the funeral scene for the three of us have seen it.
I know. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Shout Factory did a really nice Blu-ray of it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you're a physical media person, that it's worth the money.
Hell yeah. All right, Wes, you're back.
All right, I'm back. It is time for Italy to get their due, as they are one of the landmark... kingdoms of horror. There are two paths that you can go down as a horror fan, in my opinion. You could take the Dario Argento path, or you could take the Lucio Fulci path. I love both films. I love both directors. I think they're both amazing filmmakers. I was drawn to Lucio Fulci, and particularly this movie is what sets him apart from a lot of the shitty things in his catalog. Because he'll always have this gem of artistic creativity that a lot of guys in his shoes wouldn't have used. And so my next pick is The Beyond, also known as Seven Doors of Death. It's fucking... It's got the textbook gore effects that Lucio Fulci was known for. Mm-hmm. But it's sparse in dialogue. And it transitions between the real world and the past, and then like a purgatory. And there's just the way characters are introduced are through these really like traumatic events. And there's just so much like weird. There's so much weird setup from storyline to storyline getting to the finale. It's such a fucking... when you look at some of the other dog shit that he made, this especially toward the end of his career, woof. But this movie is fucking incredible. It's one of the, it, I genuinely feel like it is one of the best horror films of the modern era. And I would say in the running for, if Suspiria, if it's between Suspiria and The Beyond, that's a good duking it out for Italy's best. But if you've never seen it, The Beyond is an insane movie. Not.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
I love it's one of my favorite movies ever made by a wide margin. I love it so much.
Suspiria is really it's a fucked up movie.
Suspiria is incredible. That movie
scares them. Or not scares, but just I only think about that scene with the chick dancing and it fucking is insane.
them colors though.
Yeah.
Oh, when she falls through that window.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's so good.
And Goblin score. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, so, like so far, believe it or not, guys, 3, 6, 9, 10, 11, I've only not seen two of the movies out of the 11.
Not bad. Not bad, Andy.
This is the first one I haven't seen.
I seriously highly recommend The Beyond.
It's I will definitely weird, check it out, yeah.
Real weird, like, it's not, it doesn't really give you any sort of clear direction at the end.
Yeah.
Kind of like dizzying in that way. I don't know. It's fucking great.
All right. I'm excited.
It's like a boner in your boxers and your shirt's covering it up.
All right, Drew. What is your boner telling you to pick?
Oh, you know, follow your bone. man. Kind of debating like where to go as far as, you know, I think since I went with two classics, I will venture into this fucking, this century a little bit, and I'm going to go, now deciding which one exactly. I'm going to go with the one that, you know, even though there's one that probably, it's just two different types of scares. But I'm gonna go with the one that's you know, a little. I think the better movie. It's spawned spawned sequels that you don't need to see. But I'm gonna go Insidious.
Oh fuck! Now you just stole one of my movies.
Dude, it's
awesome movie.
Yeah,
awesome movie.
Yeah,
so good and just so so many just the little things they do in this movie is just. I feel like whenever you can go to like, you know, for what, like the fucking Tiny Tim song, like that's a reference. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's the reference of the, you know, everybody that fucking the picture of the demon behind her or behind him at the dinner table. Like, you know what I mean? The
fucking so gross.
The little boy just standing in the corner. Like there's like
the woman in black, There's like, so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like to think that all fucking came from this, the very first movie.
Is
crazy. And like, you know, just I almost said the upside down, but you know what I'm talking about? Like the other, you know, the,
created a whole universe.
Yeah.
And the slow suspense that you like, you get that here.
Yes, so. Exactly.
They never replicated it. Like they could never replicate that power. The first one had.
Yeah.
And this most recent one is,
but I think this is one of those ones that feels like it's super hard to follow up.
Yeah.
If you would have left this as a standalone,
It would have been
iconic horror film. Yeah.
Yeah, and
it's like when Eminem releases albums now.
It's actually kind of a good that's actually kind of a good
comparison.
On God, bro.
Yep, there it is.
You know, since we're doing 3 and 3, should we jump to Raven Sheedy at this point?
Yeah. Let's chop wood on this.
Do the halfway point.
Let's knock it out quick.
All right.
All right. What do you guys got?
Okay. Here we go.
Real quick, apparently.
The only thing I have is this.
Oh.
I taught myself how to draft. The people who are listening aren't going to see this, but this is a print And this, you guys can't even really see it either, but it doesn't matter.
It's a crucifix.
Fact of the matter is this piece of paper right here is the future of one James Bryanton. All right.
Oh. Nice.
This is $1 million idea that I am excited about jumping into.
Good for you.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, that's all you need to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you need.
But I literally taught myself how to use drafting software.
Hell yeah.
To learn how to make that so that.
Damn.
Now we're going. Now we're doing.
That's the only kind of draft I don't like. I guess the military draft, not a huge fan of that either.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
the one
yeah, yeah, that's yeah. fair. Yeah.
But those are the
yeah.
only two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So big things coming. That's my Raven.
I like yeah. that.
All right.
Good one.
Damn.
Damn.
How do you follow that?
I know.
I feel like
Okay, yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I feel like maybe I had a... You know, well, I definitely talked about a sheedy earlier. You know,
yeah.
My dumbass getting my car towed. but I also have like a sheedy slash Raven, and that's the season finale of Billions was the other day, and that shit was did not disappoint. Like, that show is so good, and like, I just love the fucking cast on it is amazing. The writing is so fun. Like, Andy, you would love it just for the fucking references they make on a daily basis. Like, it's
okay,
like,
I'm a reference guy,
dude. And this is like, it's always like, oh yeah, we're like so and so back in 90 or 94. You know what I mean? Like, it's always like they always drop these things, and half of them are wrestling ones. I think, you know, the fact that Dan Soder is part of the cast is a huge influence on that. Yeah, it finally wrapped up, and dude, like I said, it made you feel good. So
nice, yeah. Nice.
And for a second, I thought you said Daniel Pewter, and I was like, I'm not watching that show.
Wait, who is Daniel Pewter? Oh, the fighter. Yeah, I got you.
The guy. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Right.
He fought Kurt Angle. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, they stopped. Well, that's the thing, right? They said they stopped it because.
Right.
Like, oh shit! We can't have Kurt Angle lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That wouldn't be great. I'll go with the fact that NBA season is back, and it's been enjoyable as hell. I know James and I have been watching the Magic, and
yeah, there's a game on right now that I'm
2-0. I'm holding off, so don't say anything.
I'm not watching anything either.
Yeah. So I'm gonna hop on after, but luckily it was a 10:30.
Yeah.
Game, even though this is live, so it was last night. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's fun to watch the Magic, and the NBA's just got a lot of cool shit going on, and
yeah, it does.
Having a good time.
It's good
having
for our good time. It's good for our stupid ass listeners to like learn that we're giving something up that we love to do this for them. You know.
Yeah.
Those dummies.
For those fucking pieces of shit.
I gave
those
up
dirty
watching.
Fucks with the gimpy legs.
Also,
again, I gave up watching on tape delay. the Rangers, you know, beat the Diamondbacks last night, but you know,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But also, a quick thing that's pretty good if you're into a Wendy's Frosty, and you're into like coffee or some shit. I'm not a coffee guy. I had this and I really fucking thoroughly enjoyed it. There's like a coffee thing that you mix a Frosty with at Wendy's, and it's really fucking good. It's like a cold brew cream thing or whatever.
Oh shit.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about the pumpkin spice Frosty, which I...
It didn't do its thing. It like did for the first couple sips, yeah. And then I was like, I get the point.
You know, I was real. we're about to get into some white people shit here. But like I bought the pumpkin pie Pop Tarts.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Fucking not. They to me they didn't do it right. Like, yeah. It was still, like, the...
Just tastes like arbitrary pumpkin spice.
Yeah, well, and it was the crust was just normal Pop-Tart crust.
Yeah.
So it was like
yeah.
pie crust there, but the inside was the pumpkin filling. To me, like the pumpkin flavor should have been in the dry crusty part. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can get you. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it I will say this: better.
The pumpkin spice donut at Krispy Kreme fucking hits. Goes hard in the paint.
I'm a little partial, but pumpkin spice munchkins from Dunkin'.
Oh shit,
that's my shit right there, bud.
Okay, but they have different versions at Krispy Kreme.
So we're pro pumpkin spice here, right?
Oh yeah. Shout out to Alexis.
But again, this is very white people shit territory.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The whitest.
But like we had like bad WPS last. Mm-hmm. Like week or 2 weeks ago. Yeah. This is good WPS.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's done right. You know who so I didn't pick any up this year, but I know I did see they still have. I was trying to not be a fucking goon when it comes to this food.
Fucking
but monk. The fudge stripes, the pumpkin spice fudge stripes.
Thing, okay.
Those are good.
Those are pretty fucking good, man.
Yeah, they use like the white chocolate.
Rich.
And then, like,
they're rich.
Oh, very rich, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Ooh. Tony, rich project.
Delicious.
Wes, you got anything?
Wes?
Yeah. There's just been so much good shit to watch lately.
Like, oh, yeah.
In spite of the fucking strike, which hopefully SAG can get their piece of the pie. But there's a ton of good shit that came out. Like, there's a ton of good horror movies that are in the theater streaming right now. we just saw Five Nights at Freddy's at the drive-in. Like, what a great gateway. Andy, your son would probably dig this.
Okay.
It's a really good gateway movie for kids. Seeing how many kids at the drive-in were so fucking excited to be there.
Oh, man.
Like, wearing Five Nights at Freddy's shit and, like, getting the fucking Five Nights at Freddy's slushies and like, pizza. Yeah. Like, awesome. You're creating a whole new generation of these monster kids that are gonna keep the flame going. And it was super fun to see. BJ mentioned it. I also want to second it. Chucky is one of the best shows on television.
I need to watch this.
Nothing that it should do. You watch, you're like, this is on cable? Like, there's still like beheading people and like fucking dismembering people and Chucky's saying insane shit. It's so fucking funny, man. It's so good.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, just lots of good stuff. When Evil Lurks just hit on Shudder, this is one of those ones that everybody was talking about coming out of Toronto and a couple other big festivals. So, I don't know, just a lot of good shit right now. It's a good time to be a horror fan. Just a good time to be a fan of good content in general. So,
hell yeah. Happy Halloween, bitches.
Yeah, but...
All right. And Drew, you're back.
All right. I'm going to go with my, and I know this is up to, people say it is, people say it isn't. I just say, well, it's technically not in the movie. It's not. So it's the reason I feel it's okay that they're running. But I'm going to go with my favorite zombie movie, and that's 28 Days Later.
Oh, yeah. I
fucking love this movie.
Dude.
Like,
so good.
Yeah. I actually saw this. I'm trying to remember I think it was like right when it came out. Like that. And it was, dude, I just completely taken with this whole movie, the whole fucking cast, put me on a fucking 20-year fucking man crush on fucking Cillian Murphy. Yeah. Like, that dude can do no wrong to me. Like, and then he just Danny Boyle, and he gets hooked up with Nolan, and then Peaky Blind. Like, it's just like guy is just crushing.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He's got. This would be an interesting draft for us to do of like body parts or whatever that like stick out in your mind when you think of that. When I think of like a villain's eyes, right?
Yeah.
I think of old Cillian Murphy.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know where you were going to go with that statement.
The thing about Cillian, though, is he's so versatile because, like, he can also play a good guy, and then you're looking in his eyes, and he's like, he's got good guy eyes. Yeah, but then he's playing a bad guy, and you're like, he's got evil fucking eyes.
Yeah. He's got these eyes that stand out. Like, there's things that stand out. His eyes, Winston Duke's thighs. You know what I'm saying? There's just things that stand out.
By the time we're done with this podcast, Andy's going to build the perfect man.
Yeah. He's going to have it. We did that Weird Science Women episode. We should do that for dudes.
We need to do it for dudes, yeah.
Hell yeah.
There has to be a Weird Science Dudes episode. Yeah.
Definitely.
Hot take. I like the sequel better.
A week?
28 weeks later?
I love that fucking movie. It's so dire.
Yeah.
Oh. They're actually talking about doing the years now since it's close to that. It's 22 years since they made
that. Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Insane movies. Yeah. So miserable. So
dense.
Whew.
Fuck. And what,
I need to see this one. I haven't seen this.
Is this the first time they introduced fast zombies, or was that in anything else before this?
No, they've been fast zombies for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
but this was, I always, that's where I say it's kind of a zombie movie, but technically it's not a zombie movie because it's a virus. No. Like, you know, they say it's the rage virus or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Well.
Which, that's horror, too.
So. This is the first time I ever saw a zombie run fast, and it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It should.
Dude,
the fucking
bleeding eyes running at you, dead sprint.
No, the scene in the tunnel where the rats are just fucking crawling all over them, and then like they're like, yeah, but what are they running from? And then like just you come the fucking zombie, like, oh,
I know.
Woof.
Yeah. All right, Wes, you're back.
Oh boy. Okay, so this is a personal one, and I know for sure Drew has seen this, so he can back me up. Coming out of the late 90s, going into the early 2000s, horror was like in this weird transition of coming off of the teen, the CW
flip that
13 driven movies and into like, I don't know, kind of a renaissance of horror. Mm-hmm. And one of the places it really started to take off was Japan.
Yeah.
That's where we got The Ring, The Grudge, blah, 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 blah. But there's a movie by a lunatic fringe filmmaker named Takashi Miike that is so unsettling and so unnerving and then swings back around a hard left on you at the end and hits you in the face with a hammer in a way you weren't anticipating. And for me personally, it revitalized my love of horror that has withstood now for fucking 23, 24 years since I thought the genre was dying for me. And that is Takashi Miike's Audition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This movie is up fucking setting. And it's this real slow burn where you would get glimpses of violence and it just keeps building. And it starts with this very kind of quiet, meager, like meek presentation of who these people are. And then you start to see like her past isn't what you think it is. His intentions are of ill intent. He has ill intent. And discovering that each other aren't what they appear explodes into this insane finale of violence, and it's just such a fucking shovel to the face. And man, what a standout movie. to come out of that era in Japan.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and he was you know, most notably, like, well, especially with like Ichi.
Ichi the killer, of course. Yeah,
he brings the blood.
Oh yeah, he loves it, man. he's the one that also did that the Dead or Alive series that I believe is based on the video games.
I know the video games.
Okay,
there was beach volleyball when I played a lot.
These movies, Takashi Miike did a trilogy of them, and it's just hyper violent, like dudes in very like late 90s, early 2000, like shiny fake patent leather wraparound sunglasses and just shooting John Woo style. Awesome shit.
Hell yeah.
Miike's still at it too, still making movies.
Yeah, check out Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball. What a
game. Oh, I know that.
What a game.
The dudes that used to buy those, by the way, exactly who you think they are.
Andy.
They're Andy Liner. No.
I don't know how I got it, but I was just like, this is a cool game.
If you guys have ever watched any of those like 100 Scariest Movie Moments shows,
there's a show
Audition
or something, right?
On it.
Okay.
Yeah, Audition
I've not
is always
seen
on
it yet, but I'm into it. I'm into like Asian films just in general.
Yeah, yeah.
So like
good era in Japan. This came.
I was actually just thinking about these recently because just that whole era of this and Ichi and then like Old Boy and Lady Vengeance. I do want to rank. Go back.
Battle Royal.
Battle Royal.
Suicide Club. Juan. Yeah, there was tons of good shit coming out. And out of every Asian market. Yeah. Dumplings.
Dumplings are so good.
Dumplings are fucking great.
I fucking love dumplings.
Watch this movie, then order some dumplings.
Yeah.
go ahead.
Maybe I'll watch the movie while eating dumplings.
Yes. Do that. Yeah. Order it and then put it on.
Oh, real dumpling off.
It's got a... what's her name?
You'll be off of dumplings real quick.
Am I going to eat? Am I going to eat the movie or the food?
You never know. She was just at the Comic-Con we went to, James. What's her name? She was in the Star Wars.
Oh, Bai Ling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Bai Ling. She rules.
Yeah.
She's fucking awesome.
She's a weirdo, man. I love her.
Mm-hmm. Dumplings while dumplings.
Yeah.
Get dumb with it, James.
Hell yeah.
Early 2000s.
Watch it on the toilet, and then you can take a dumpling.
Eat dumplings, take it a dumpling, watch it dumplings.
Yeah.
And then he incepted.
Fucking
yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
Did the top actually fall?
It's back to me. Where do I want to go now?
Your list is not at all what I expected, James.
Oh, really?
What was your first one, James?
It's fun.
Huh?
What was your first one?
The Exorcism,
of Emily Rose.
That's right.
It scared
fucking
me.
Fucking heater, man.
I think I'm going to go with this movie here. This is a movie that caught me off guard because I didn't really know what I was getting into when I watched it. And I think I was at like a friend's house or something with a group of people. And somebody said, hey, you want to watch? I rented this movie and they like put it on. And I was like, okay. And I ended up being like extremely captivated by this movie while I was on. And it's fucking incredible. And it's scary as fuck. And I'm going with the movie Frailty.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, that's a great movie.
Bill Paxton. Yeah.
One of his best roles. And yeah, I mean that.
That might be my favorite role of his.
I think he did direct it. Yeah. I would say outside of Near Dark, this is my favorite Bill Paxton role.
Yeah.
I think he's fucking incredible in it, man.
Yeah.
It's Bill Paxton, Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, Bill Paxton directed the movie. As well, and stars in it. And
oh God, what a movie, dude!
The movie it's about. I guess it's an FBI agent who, when he was a child, his dad was a fucking murderer, but he did it in like, he did it like for God. Like he was being told to kill sinners or whatever by, and like throughout the movie, like there's a point where I'm listening to Bill Paxton and I'm like starting to believe like, oh, this dude is ordained by God. Like he's so good.
He's so good in it.
Yeah. It's fucked up. It's a fucked up fucking movie and it's crazy just the way as fuck.
He is too. Just like, you know, like, oh, what about you there, Tiger? Like just him is like this weird, like supportive dad, but also like this piece of shit dad.
Dude. Yeah.
Like it's so crazy.
Fuck man. God.
I to this day, I always say can't never could do nothing.
that's an amazing movie. And it definitely like catches, if you don't know what it is that you're about to watch, it catches you off guard.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. And dude, I think it deserves a Criterion release.
Oh yeah.
I firmly believe.
Dude, I love Bill Paxton.
I haven't watched this, so I would definitely want to check this out. This is a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking
now you guys are coming with the shit I don't know. You know?
Hey, Andy, you would love this.
Yeah.
You would love
this. It's fantastic.
Movie.
Yeah.
Plus, it's got one of the creepiest things you can ever do in a movie, and that's digging a hole.
Oh, I thought you said one of the queefiest things. I was like, I'm interested. What is this?
Yeah. Well, if the dirt's wet.
It's
true. So there's dirt on the field.
We go in.
All right, Andy, you're up.
I think it works.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of like poop.
No rain delays here.
All right, I'm going to go with another one from my childhood.
Another one.
That was creepy as fuck. That's right. Another one. And Wes, you kind of allied up so I could oop. So give me Child's Play.
Oh, let's fucking go, man.
Yeah, I think the scary part about it was this thing that any of us could have had as a kid, right? And I almost, like, I was big into Problem Child, and I viewed, like, Child's Play kind of like Problem Child in my weird head as a kid.
Yep, totally makes sense to me.
And, like, I loved Problem Child, the movie. I remember seeing Child's Play. That was, like, probably one of the early horrors that I saw at some point. And it was fucking terrifying. But also, I was kind of fucking into it. And I didn't like doll stuff and things like that. But Chucky had this, like, swag to him, if you will. Yeah. That was a little different.
Got a lot of charisma.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And Andy. So, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course. I think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I thought the overalls were super dope on him. I liked the color scheme of what he was wearing.
And he's like, I like them Oshkosh bagoshes he got there. Hell
I was
yeah.
a big Oshkosh guy. Loved Oshkosh. Like, I kind of want a pair of Oshkoshes right now.
I bet you can get them. I bet they cost us a fucking shitload of money.
Hell yeah, they do. And you know what I'm going to do? Throw one down. You got to.
I was so afraid
of... Although it could be like backpacks where like 2 became cool, like 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Now it's
when
cool. 2 to
become cool.
Yeah. You know? Dude, Andy, Child's Play, in my opinion, is the most consistent and most entertaining. It is without question of all of the franchises in horror.
I think they do it the best. And yes. Even the addition of like Tiffany and shit. Like,
yeah. And then the kids later on, you know?
Yeah. Like, so I feel like they've done it better than anybody like as a whole.
Oh yeah. It's
like Police Academy to me, you know?
That makes sense. Sure. Yeah. There's something to it where like it evolved with time and Don Mancini has a unique perspective as the creator because he, you know, look when it started and look at it still existing, the Child's Play and Chucky universe.
Yep.
The whole time has been through the lens of a gay man. And so like you weren't getting a regressive version of it. Like Chucky evolves.
Yeah.
Chucky
evolved in a really entertaining way where he's like, I fucking murder 9 out of 10 people I encounter. I'm not a fucking bigot, man. Like, I love, I can't say that. Chucky is my favorite. That's my favorite franchise of, in all of horror, is the Child's Play franchise. I love it.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Well, and two, like, it, even with the... His first, like, yeah, even though the first one took itself seriously, like, it never took itself.
Yeah.
So, like, when they went to those departures, it wasn't like, man, they really killed this. Like, you know.
Exactly.
Like a Nightmare on Elm Street. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Nightmare on Elm Street. It was like, some of them, like, I feel like what they do is they, it's almost like, you know, the old Patton Oswalt thing where he gets the TiVo and he.
Yeah.
He records a Western movie and then he just it records
stuff with horses.
Horses, yeah. Like, I feel like that's the way, like, that horror algorithm, like, works is like, they're like, oh, you like that? Here's all this. Like, well, that's not what we liked about it. Like, that's just an element in that movie.
Who's
yeah.
So you know what it is? What? Chucky what? Is like the macaroni and cheese of horror.
Okay.
You know I agree, man. I agree. Accessible.
Just like wholesome, like fills you, like it's, you know what I'm saying? It's that warm cup of cocoa on a cold day.
And if you're lactose intolerant, you're not going to like either of them.
What's the words I'm looking for here? You know what I'm saying?
It's comforting.
Chucky is the most comforting horror, if that makes sense.
Comfort horror.
It makes a lot of sense to me. As a franchise, Child's Play.
Yeah, it's like a
learn how to not take itself too seriously while also not insulting the intelligence of the audience.
Yeah. It's like drinking a cup of cocoa like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Too handy your cocoa.
Basically, Child's Play for your grandmothers.
Yeah.
My grandma took me to the theater to see it. So.
It's that foil blanket the police put around you, you know.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. And now I'm going to go with a Drew special here.
Uh-huh.
Because this is one that to me is a modern classic when it comes to horror. And there's some of the movies, even ones that we've drafted here, that's a slow burn. And maybe they're not doing something here or there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and it's that kind of slow burn. This, you don't ever feel it. You feel anxious and anxiety the entire time, even though there's no fucking talking. So give me A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Ooh, good one. Yeah.
That was going to be next for me, man.
Yeah, it's just, this is terrifying in a way that's like, first off, it's like the family film, right? And like, also they do it in a way that you're like, oh shit. These people are smart as fuck, right?
Yeah.
They're not dumbasses getting killed in a horror movie type thing. They're like very smart. They're methodical. They've got a new way of living. The only thing they tell you is like it's day, like, I don't even know. Like, it's not even 100 days or something, but we don't see the beginning, right? We see, as they've kind of mastered a bit of how they have to move a bit, but there's also these tense moments of, you know, with the baby stuff and all of that. And it's just like the whole time, even if something's not happening, because nothing has happened in terms of words, right? You're just on the edge of your seat the entire time, which I think is hard to pull off as like a slow burn. Sometimes slow burns can be considered boring if someone's not invested.
Yeah.
This is never that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely. Nice like pick. It's.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it was so funny when they were, you know, because not long after this, the one where you can't see came out. What was it? Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Like to me, it just like it fell short because it's like, you know, like yeah, you're taking the sensory thing out, but you're taking the one where you actually need to watch the movie with, like,
yeah.
Quiet Place, like you can be silent with, and like,
yeah. Well, and the sounds are like, holy shit, they like hit extra.
Yeah,
it's like they've turned off some of your senses, so mm-hmm. other ones are stronger. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're getting that, even if you have all your senses, because they took the talking kind of out. So mm-hmm. any noises that are happening, that's even more elevated than it typically would be.
Yeah.
It's a movie that convinces you to be silent and still while you lean in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it can, maximize its effect when yeah. it's really
it's the Jake the Snake promo of of horror movies, you know.
It's everybody else television is loud porn and, while your yeah. parents are in their room.
It is. It's so fucking edge of the seat. I fucking love it. It's
think great. About it. Yeah.
It was great.
And that's my second comedic actor yeah. who put out a masterpiece in their mm-hmm. first fucking movie.
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Hmm.
Joms.
I have stuff on my list here, but I just don't know where I want to go.
Dude, no, ride that donkey.
It's tough.
Since we're down to two.
I know.
Fuck. A couple humps for a reason. Fuck. Come on,
I think I'm going to take, I don't know which one of these to take. I wonder which one of these would excite you guys more.
Take the first one.
All right, here we go. This movie is not scary at all, but it's
second
a horror.
Take the second one.
No, but it's a horror movie that I love, and it's one that I saw semi early and was okay with watching it. And it's really, I don't know, it's horror themed and it's horror element. And it's a classic horror character bringing this story to life, but they did it in a way that I think is very HBO and funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going with Tales from the Crypt, Demon Night.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Dude, that movie fucking rules.
I love this fucking movie, and that's why I picked it. Yeah. And Billy Zane in this movie is fucking fun as shit. You know? He's as evil as he is on the Titanic, running around on the Titanic, you know? but I have so much fun with this movie, and it, you know, it's got all the themes of horror, but done comedically in a way, you know, because it's Tales from the Crypt, so.
It's also it's so rewatchable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And then, you know, they tried to do it again with Bordello of Blood, and that movie fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, compared to this movie, Bordello of Blood can go fuck itself. I'd still watch it, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah. Demon, oh, same, yeah.
Yeah, Demon Knight is so good. Yeah.
Dude, these are fire, though. All the Tales from the Crypt stuff.
Yeah.
I even fucked with, like Leprechaun and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Leprechaun from the Hood or whatever.
Horror's like pizza, man.
You know, that's something we haven't done, but I feel like there's definitely enough to do the horror/horror-adjacent TV show draft.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's plenty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we could definitely do this, especially now that we've, you know, they've added so much recently.
There's 65 different fucking Walking Dead series, man. Yeah, we've got it for days.
True. All right, Wes, what do you got?
All right. I'm going to take a little more modern one. I love every feature that this director has made. I have the utmost faith in this director because they have yet to let me down. And it's because they made this movie and fucked me up so bad that I'm like, I'm going to be obsessed with everything you make here from here on. It starts here. And it fucked up all of us that are on this call right now. Toni Collette deserved an Academy Award nomination for her performance. Ari Aster's Hereditary.
Yeah.
It's an all-timer, man. It's so great. Yeah. What a movie. What a fucking movie.
It's insane.
It's relentless. Yeah. It's miserable. It's terrifying. It's gross. It's sad. Oh, God. I just,
dude,
great,
sad shit fucked me up. That's what fucked me up the most.
Because it's heartbreaking. Yeah. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Ugh.
Dude, I just picture the phone pole. That's like, just picture that in my brain. Like, you say the movie, and that's the first image that pops in my head.
And then to find out what all of it was about.
I know.
To get to that ending, and you're like, this was all a foretold ritual?
Yeah, I know.
Don't like. I say that out of respect, but don't like.
No. Oh, absolutely. No, dude. And then to follow it up with Midsommar.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. I and I don't know if you guys have seen it. I think Bo is Afraid is my movie of the year.
Oh, I haven't seen that, no.
I've not seen that.
I loved it so much.
Hell yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but it looks like it was on the list of stuff you sent me, and I watched the trailer, and I was just like, this looks amazing, but it's just not what I wanted to watch right then.
Totally, you know, get
right?
It. Yeah. Totally get it. Yeah.
And, but looking at it, I was like, oh, this totally has the feel of something that I would just fucking
love. It's your shit, yeah. And I'll tell you guys this. We're coming up on those, like, holiday winter months.
Yeah.
Perfect for, like, one of those nights where it's, like, Thursday, I'm not going to work Friday. I'm sitting around. I want to get high and watch something fucked up. Watch Bo is Afraid.
All right.
But, yeah, Hereditary.
Do a double feature, put greener grass on the other side.
Woo! Dude, Andy, you and I are the two people that are championing that movie. It's so good. It's so good.
I fucking love it.
Yeah, man, I fucking Hereditary.
Yeah, it's insane.
Modern classic. That's
Yeah. All right, Drew.
Oh, that one's fucking terrifying.
There's like these two left. There's like, there's one, it's like, it is personal. Like, I do love it. And it's also like a big fucking movie that it's like, you know, the character of this thing is definitely out there. But then there's like the ones that like really got me. So it's like, where do I go here? And I feel like I can't go wrong either way. So yeah, give me that face of, you know, the face of pure evil. Give me Pinhead. Give me Hellraiser.
Oh, shit.
Especially that fucking first one is just
brutal. It's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
It's filthy. it's mean-spirited.
When he finally gets Frank, like, oh.
Man.
Nobody escapes us like that fucking voice. And I really enjoyed that fucking Hulu remake.
So did I, man.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
If Powder That's a horny had pens in his head, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If Powder had pens in his head.
You called, we came.
Especially, you know, like, I mean, you know, weirdly, because we kind of get into this, we got into this yesterday on the PWT cast. The cosplay for Pinhead is like when
horny.
Like when Meg the Stallion was fucking Pinhead, I was like, yeah.
I'm into it.
I mean, all of Hellraiser is rooted in kink and BDSM.
Yeah. Oh much so.
So it's stands to reason that any cosplay is going to be
horny. Let me move all my
toys. Drew, Pinhead, would you?
Let me move all my toys here. Here's my puzzle box.
Ooh, Pandora's box.
I have a special edition Blu-ray of this movie in a box like that.
Yeah.
I love this fucking movie, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Dude, a movie about Stone Cold? Come on now.
Yes. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and speaking of Stone Cold, yeah. Anybody, have you two bottom fellas listened to the? Oh, it's bottom on my screen.
Whoa, bro, clip that.
Andy and Wes, like, have you guys listened to the PWT cast from this week?
I'm not done with it yet.
Scrump makes a statement of, imagine firing Stone Cold Steve Austin because he punched Val Venus. I fucking died. I fucking yeah, yeah, yeah. died. I was
like, tell Scrump to pass his therapist's phone number along to his boy.
To Phil?
So he stops getting fired at every job he works at.
But yeah, that was just a funny comparison.
Hilarious one.
Off, I guess.
Cash mentioned Val Venus the other day.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how funny, like how ridiculous that character was.
Yeah.
And how much it sucks that he sucks.
Yeah.
Dude, I used to do the Val Venus and tuck it in.
He could have been so funny in this era.
I still do that fucking the towel thing when I get
the whip around.
I'd be like, "Hello, ladies," and then tuck it in. Like, whoa!
It sucks that he sucks though, because he could have been really funny on Twitter, but he's a fucking drag.
That's true. If he were still like playing up that character, all right,
could have been Lav Penis.
And now on with the show.
Sort of.
That's Val backwards.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
And penis.
I'm going to go the movie that fucking, you know, I feel like I talk about it till I'm fucking blue in the face. But like, it scared the shit out of me. Even at fucking like 30 years old. Give me It Follows.
Fucking It Follows, man.
Yeah.
Good pick, Drew. Did you see what they announced today?
No.
He had his sequel, They Follow.
Oh, shit.
Next year, which will coincide with 10 years since the original.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what's her name? Is it Mikey Monroe?
Yeah.
She's also signed on for it as well.
Holy shit.
So
that's awesome.
I interpret the title as we're going to find out there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of it different.
Were you thinking pronouns?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm seeing it as like multiple monsters.
Okay.
I just...
Because I was like, that's an interesting premise that really hasn't, you know...
Yeah.
I just typed in They Follow on Google, and it took me to like a screen with... you know, news stories of They Fall, like you just said, but it also has It Follows at the top here, and it's got like a little image of a girl running and just a fucking character walking behind it, like going back and forth on the screen.
Yeah.
Is that because?
I got the same thing.
Yeah.
So wait, if you type it in?
Type in They Follow in your Google search bar and then go to the page, and it'll at the very
there's somebody running.
Weird.
Yeah,
there's a girl. Must that's be some running promotion. And then a dude sliding behind.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It must be it some is. Little promotion for the movie.
Drew, do not be ashamed that this movie scared you as a grown man.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just. I feel like I talk about it way too much, but.
It's a scary fucking movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's amazing.
Hey, this is one that you guys made me watch. I don't know if you drafted it, Drew, but I remember watching this.
I probably did. Yeah, even on the fucking Google app, it's going right across there.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. All right, Wes.
There's a poster for two boys.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
So, my final pick, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, I have to take this because it still lingers with me. Mm. And I don't think in a lot of instances it's considered traditional horror, but it has very much been adopted by the horror movie community because it's so... dizzying and claustrophobic and violent and abrasive and just has no regard for your emotions whatsoever, which kind of makes it a horror movie. And this guy is one of my favorite filmmakers. He's a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
He's an absolute fucking French lunatic.
Yeah.
And when that wave of new extreme French films came out, everyone was like, where did this come from? It came from this fucking pervert. And And while he made a movie before this, this is the one that when you say Gaspar Noé, the first movie that comes to mind is Irreversible.
Yeah.
And that is my final pick.
I wasn't sure, like, if we could put it on, so that's why it's, but yeah, same thing.
Dude. It's a horror movie. Tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
It's so fucking violent and mean and, oh, man, just, it. The first time I saw it, I couldn't stop thinking about it for 3 days. Yeah. Like, it consumed my brain. I couldn't watch any other movies. It just consumed my entire mind. And as time went on, I've only watched it a handful of times. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
It's a hard watch, dude.
It's a really hard movie to watch because it's not like it's showing you these horrific events that destroy these people's lives. And it tells you the story backwards.
Yeah.
And you would think that you would be moving towards comfort, but you end on complete hopelessness because you know what came of these people. And it's such a mean way to tell a fucking story.
It's funny enough, it's a happy ending that you're mad. Like, you're like,
because you know it's
ending.
Not.
Yeah, because you're like, fuck. Like,
this is the beginning of what will be a horrible, horrible nightmare.
Yeah.
And but I've been obsessed with him ever since, man.
Yeah.
I thought this was at first, which come to find out he's the same dude. The movie that you had me see that fucked me up did not, like, whoa, climax.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Man, that's a walk in the park compared to Irreversible.
Jesus.
If you've got the stones, his first movie, I Stand Alone, is what a terrible experience.
Was that like Hoobastank?
It's
Godsmack.
Godsmack? Whatever.
Stand Alone.
It's
Hoobastank.
And the owner is, you know, I just saw a video the other day that was like ranking the fucking best new metal bands, and I was like, this doesn't need to be a video.
Okay. All right. While we're on the topic, like the fact that there was any press or excitement over this Creed reunion, like, no, we're going to act like we like it. We all made fun of it for 20 fucking years. Fuck off.
Creed
You're not
was supposed to be the
Creed.
Good part of the Nickelback joke.
Like, get fucked. Like, I'm so sick of, like, I see that on Twitter. I'm like, you don't like, you've made fun of them for 20 fucking years. Fuck off. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants to see Daughtry back together. Nobody wants to see Three Doors Down. Suck my fucking dick.
I'm coming home.
Fucking nerds.
Oh, man.
I can't properly explain I Stand Alone other than just like, if you watch that movie knowing it's Gaspar Noé's first feature, you watch it going, oh, this dude isn't ever going to make anything that is for normal public consumption. Not for the mainstream at all.
All right,
I'm not going to say that I'm going to watch Irreversible. I probably won't.
Totally understand.
No, because... dude, Wes, that movie you sent me, like, that was
Climax,
fucked.
Wild.
Climax wild. Was fucked. Drew, have you seen this yet?
Yeah, I do. I will say about Irreversible, like, I feel like it is worth at least the one watch. Like,
Because it's great film. It's
also
film.
I watched that movie where Cars got that chick pregnant, so I could probably handle it.
Titane?
Yeah.
Just the description alone reminded me of an actual event that took place in both Andy and our lives after a girl left one of our parties in Tallahassee.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know, that it kind of made it a little close to home. I don't know, it was weird, but
yeah. that was not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's I love that.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah.
Just so you know, just so everyone knows, we had nothing to do with it. Not what happened, but.
Just be clear.
Yeah.
We didn't fuck a car.
Yeah, exactly.
No, no.
I will say his most recent movie, Vortex, actually stars Dario Argento, the Italian filmmaker.
Dario's Speedwagon, the whole thing. And it is,
it's nothing like anything he's made, but it's very sad. It's a married couple, and one of them has dementia, and it's just, it's really heartbreaking, but it's so good. Man. Yeah, he's not for
Speed everybody. And Wagon, both in the same movie. Crazy.
He's, well, now, Enter the Void, have you guys heard of that one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's another one of his. That's,
I have heard of that.
Wild to look at. It's really colorful.
I'm going to stay out of the void.
Yeah. All right, well, two letters from games, your pick.
All right, here we go. I'm about to take another Sam Raimi movie. And I saved it for late because I knew you guys weren't going to take this movie. But this is, if people ask me, what's your favorite horror movie, this might be the movie that I say that day, depending on what day it is. But this might be the day.
Saturday. It's a Saturday.
Okay, yeah, I definitely said this movie then. And it's not like just full-bore horror. You know what I mean? There's, a lot to this movie. But the chick is a fortune teller and there is psychological stuff going on. There's ghost type of shit going on. She's conjuring the dead and talking to the dead. So that's horror shit, you know, and it's Sam Raimi. It's
big with Tom Hanks.
And, just the Sam Raimi, this is this is my favorite Sam Raimi movie of all time. And the movie is The Gift with Cate Blanchett. Yeah. And,
good movie. Underrated.
It's underrated. That's why I like to talk about this movie, because a lot of people don't even fucking know about it. And there's a movie from 2015 with Jason Bateman called The Gift now, too. So, that's going to muddy the waters even fucking more.
Yeah.
But, this movie, it has Keanu Reeves in a time when people were making fun of every fucking thing Keanu Reeves did. But he acted the doors off this fucking movie. You had a guy, you had Giovanni Ribisi in this movie, who has one of the best fucking roles of his entire career. And the way that he acts it is so fucking good. You get to see Katie Holmes' tits.
This is the movie James told me to see.
This is the movie.
That's why
he was working at Hollywood Video. And James is like, The Gift.
Even back then, though, I'm sure I gave you the warning that it's not a sexy moment when you see her tits, you know? She's getting slapped around a little bit, you know?
Yeah, you're not
probably
like...
played it off. Yeah.
This movie is so fucking good. And, Cate Blanchett is so fucking good in this movie. I love it. I might watch this movie tonight.
It's a fantastic movie. Yeah. It is one of Sam Raimi's best and most underrated accomplishments.
It's crazy because when I was referencing that story, in no way in my head did I know what the movie was, and did I know that James would pick it later on.
I definitely was planning on picking it by my sixth pick for
That's
sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I watched this movie. Don't remember anything but one scene that I watched multiple times. If you pause it just right, you can get it right before the thing happens.
No slapping going on.
God bless the internet, man. Thank God we have the internet now.
Real pausable moment.
So we're not moving frame by frame to see a titty.
Toledo's greatest exports.
Amen.
All right, Andy.
All right. Last pick, so I better make it a good one.
Yeah, you better.
You know what? I'm going to go with the movie that fucked me up unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And the reason this movie fucked me up unexpectedly is Wes, you said your daughter loved this movie and had a poster. I went into this thinking I was getting a fucking break, and what I got was the most emotional, drenching fucking horror that I've seen. Give me Babadook.
My dog.
Yeah, this
awesome movie, man.
It is
awesome
incredible. Movie.
This is a terrifying movie, like costumed as a kid's movie.
It really is.
It's about grief, yeah. And it's about
this fucked me up.
Loss, and it's sad. It's a sad story.
Yeah,
and it's fucking scary. And then it has this like beautiful outcome where it's like you learn how to live with your pain.
Yeah,
and you learn how to learn how to keep that demon at bay, and it's not easy, but you have to work towards it. It's so fucking good, man. Oh,
dude, and this movie's terrifying for a different reason too, because you start the movie not really enjoying the kid so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then you realize you feel bad for him.
Yeah, and the tough part is like now it hits even different because like my kid's on the spectrum, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck. Like, so it hits even harder because like I understand elements of that.
Yeah.
You know, that I didn't really know before. So it kind of puts another layer on this movie, but
yeah, makes it personal.
It's interesting to have a historic figure like in terms of like in your head of somebody and then be mixed in with this type of movie, because typically those things wouldn't kind of coexist.
Yeah.
Which makes it like different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about this movie too is how their grief manifests in this monster that is like your quintessential boogeyman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Like he lurks in the shadows and he's got this all weird menacing frame, and it's like the way they set it up, like when it comes over her bed. And it's the analogy of, you know, how it suffocates you. And like, it's such a smart movie while also being scary as fuck the whole time.
Yeah.
And it hits you later too. So like, that's the thing I'd certain scary movies, you get scared in the moment and then you move on. This is like that pepper that hits you after you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I'm
yep.
saying? Because it comes back and you're like, what the fuck? Why won't this bullshit that Wes fed me get out?
There's another wave when you think you're done with the heat.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Fuck.
Damn. Well, there it is. No honorables. 666.
And six to grow on.
You know?
Hell yeah.
It's so evil, we gave you another six.
Damn. There it is.
This was great.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Woo, the Horror Hall of Fame.
I feel like we checked off all the big directors, all the big characters.
For the most part, yeah.
We didn't throw out like an It, though.
Yeah, no.
And then I had like Psycho.
It's not that scary to me, but... you know?
No, you know what? Yeah, because only half of It is good. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the first half is good. The second half's a fucking clown show. pun intended.
Literally.
Kids defeat It. And you're like, okay, well, if a fucking kid can do it, I can do it by myself. If six kids can do it, I can do it by my goddamn self.
Bro, I pissed down a sewer.
To be fair, like, people fucking hate this movie because of the clown. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I know. Yeah.
Like the people that have
the Poltergeist clown scares me more than the It clown.
The what does?
The Poltergeist clown.
Oh, the doll under the bed? Doll?
Yeah.
Oh, because you think
because
it's gonna rape you?
That's something I'm like.
Or you're going to rape it?
Well, that's something you go to your grandma's house and she might have that clown sitting on the shelf on the record player. Mm-hmm. Right?
And that clown might fuck you.
Yeah.
Exactly. But a clown in the sewer.
Get back here.
Uncle Rattery is got a gift for
you. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are from the sewer.
Yep.
I came from the gutter. They came from the sewer, you know?
That's right.
All right. Here's the picks.
Hell of a segue, man. That was great.
For Andy's team of Hall of Fame horrors, pick number one, The Exorcist. Two, The Shining. Three, Get Out. Four, Child's Play. Five, A Quiet Place. And six, Babadook. For James's team of Hall of Fame horrors, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Freddy vs. Jason, Drag Me to Hell, Frailty, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight, and See Them Kate Titties in The Gift. For Katie. Wes's team of...
Katie got some big old titties.
Katie got some small old titties. For Wes's correction. Team of Hall of Fame horrors, number one, of course, you know it, the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Two, Night of the Living Dead. Three, The Beyond, a.k.a. Seven Doors of Death. Four, Audition. Five, Hereditary. And six, Irreversible.
He was,
with the thing over the E. He was so you just know it's irreversible.
That's right. He was just such a big fan of Seventh Heaven that, like, you know, anything that Jessica Biel did after that. Like,
makes
he
sense.
Really liked yeah. that wholesome story, you know?
Yeah, I've never seen that
the
show.
Wholesome cast as well.
Is that the one where she did nudes to get out of, try and get out of her contract?
Yeah,
I think it was, yeah.
It was Rules of Attraction, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
Right, thanks, you know.
And for Drew's ties, team of Hall of Fame Horror.
Ties in the Child's Play because Catherine Hicks was the mom.
Bang.
All right, okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Keep it in the circle, man.
Yeah.
The Omen, or if you reverse it, the least scary movie ever, Nemo.
Not reverse. It's an anagram, but...
Yeah, whatever, you know, if you like Hallmark. Number two, Halloween. Number three, Insidious.
I think he... Just keep going, Andy.
I think he's trying to make fun of The Omen.
28 Days Later. Number five, Hellraiser. And number six, It Follows.
I think he meant like a candygram or something like that. Like, that's why he said Hallmark.
It was some
okay.
letter shit. Some letter shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a further reach than normal for you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go with the titty check.
Titty check.
It's a mammogram.
You miss 100%.
Mammogram.
Exactly.
100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
That's
well, another
Wayne
year
Gretzky
in the books.
Via Michael Scott. I like how Nemo and Omen are mammograms. That's a mammogram.
As you all know, Nemo and Omen are mammograms.
That's right. They're complete opposite, but they got grams in it.
Did I mention I don't read books? Has never harmed me yet.
What's that Dang. Adaptation? What's that?
Speaking of which.
I'm blind, but I'll rub one.
I sent it to the boys. I don't know if you saw it, but Nate Bargatze on his SNL fucking monologue just talked a good chunk about not reading
about books. I know.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah,
I was like, this is Andy.
Yeah, that's the first person I thought of was Andy when I watched it.
Yeah, I did a bit on books in my
good monologue
debut.
You
yeah.
did.
Did you? I don't remember that.
Yeah,
which is surprising because I remember most of your stand up. I remember yours more than I remember mine. That's how memorable it was.
Is it because I screamed the word bitch?
Oh, that, and you were very Tracy. I almost said
Tracy Morgan-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. I almost said Jordan.
Tracy Jordan.
You kind of were Tracy Jordan.
Yeah.
You're just like an even more elevated Tracy Morgan.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yep.
Well, this is great, guys.
Bitch,
you know,
be getting pregnant.
You know what this you know what this group of picks does is it gives anybody who has a boring Halloween today when you're listening to this opportunity to fucking find a great fucking movie to watch Halloween night. All right, Hell yeah. Yep.
Amen.
Just gave you 24 of them.
You got a list of them.
That's
a
right.
A mountain of them.
And we've got some.
No excuses.
Good, that's right.
We've got some good shows coming up. We've got our 30 anniversary shows. We've got with some good guests. We've got a milestone
coming up.
A little bit of a callback to when he was on just a few months ago. Vinny will be back on for the I Think You Should Leave sketch draft.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Our 350 in November.
The memes have been popping lately.
Yeah, which
is so much.
Rob.
Yeah.
We're five away from 350, guys.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Holy shit.
350.
Goddamn. Goddamn.
Goddamn.
Congratulations.
There's Thanks. Only one other thing I've done 350 times.
It is absolutely whack off. There's
your mom.
Sheila.
Well, Drew.
Loves you, bitch!